Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Philadelphia Sports Nation. I'm your host, Jillian Brow, the King, and today I'm joined here with Maxwell Ogden from Sheridan Hoops to break down the Sixers NBA draft. What's up, Max?
How you doing, Jillian?
It's great to have you on, Max. It's been quite a while since we last talked, but it's good to have you on. If you want to call into the show, the number to the show is 347-215-6966. Once again, 347-215-6966. Big show today, debating on who the Sixers should select in the 2015 NBA draft. If you want to call in, do so by dialing 347-215-6966. So, Max, let's get right to it. With the number 3 overall pick, the Sixers should select who?
A guard, a perimeter player. Everybody's trying to talk up Chris Epps for Porzingis, and maybe they'll get Okafor and all this stuff, and it's just redundant, and it's ridiculous. And I know a lot of Sixers fans are still trusting Sam Hinkie. If they select a fourth big man, to give up on the Sixers being good anytime soon. So everyone keeps talking about Embiid's foot, and that's seriously a concern. But the reality is you have Nerlens Noel, who you could make a case was robbed of Rookie of the Year. And you also have Dario Saric coming over to be the same stretch four that people are projecting Kristaps Porzingis to be. Now, maybe Saric can play small forward. And if that's possible, then maybe Porzingis is the guy that they should get. But the reality is you're not going to win and you're not going to get to the playoffs if Isaiah Cannon and Hollis Thompson are your top two perimeter scorers. They need to get D'Angelo Russell or Emmanuel Mudiay. And if they don't, it's another questionable move by Sam Hinkie.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Everyone's talking about the Sixers possibly drafting D'Angelo Russell, possibly drafting Kristaps Porzingis, because we don't know at all what is going to take place on Thursday night. No one knows what Sam Hinkie is thinking inside. But what we can think about is the possible scenarios in this particular draft for the Philadelphia 76ers. The long time coming. Everyone's been debating for months as to who the Sixers should select. But, like I said, you got Kristaps Porzingis, Mario Hezonja, Emmanuel Mudiay, Karl Towns. The list goes on and on. But if I were to narrow it down to one particular guy, I think the Sixers should honestly draft Emmanuel Mudiay. I mean, to me, Mudiay is the safer bet here for the Philadelphia 76ers. And by God, if the Sixers happen to screw up on this pick, then it could really take off the whole entire Sixers fan base. Could very well put Sam Hickey's job in jeopardy. But I'd say Sam Hinkie has to go out in this draft this year and pick the best available, and I feel Emmanuel Mudiay is the best available, one of the best available, one of the safer options, because he's arguably the most athletic player in this draft, still needs to work on his shooting mechanics, as we all know, but still can develop his shot and become a lethal weapon in the Sixers lineup. He's a huge slasher, can really attack the rim and really develop his skill set as time goes on. I mean, look at the difference between Mudiay and Porzingis. Porzingis is a bigger project, because Porzingis is going to have to put on lots more muscle. He's going to have to work more on his post-up moves. Kristaps can definitely stretch the floor for a guy like Nerlens Noel or Joel Embiid, but he's not the type of player who can get physical down low and be a physical presence. He needs to really bulk up in order to become successful in the NBA. I mean, make no mistake about it, Kristaps is a fine shooter and has potential, but we're talking 3-4 years down the road here. I don't think many Sixer fans are too patient to wait 3-4 years. Everyone's saying 3-4 years, Kristaps could be the best player in this draft. Looking 3-4 years from now, Kristaps could be the best player coming out of this draft. But hey, I think in all honesty, his potential leans between Andre Kirilenko and Dirk Nowitzki. Porzingis can certainly become more of a versatile player if he were to add on weight. Everyone will rave about his offensive versatility, but I don't think he'll necessarily translate to the NBA with his body of work. He needs to really bulk up in order to become successful once again. I can't stress it enough because.
Well, on the other end of the spectrum there, Kristaps Porzingis is 10 pounds heavier than Anthony Davis was when he came into the league, and he's a more offensively polished player than really any big man in this draft besides Kaminsky and Okafor. So I don't think the bust potential is too much of a concern. It's really just the stigma of being a European player because we have the Darko Milicic's and the Jan Vesely's and even the Andrea Bargnani's. The real issue for Philadelphia isn't how good he will or won't be. It's the fact that they don't need another big man. They, you know, you can have four great big men, but unless you plan on putting 4, 6, 10 guys on the floor at the same time and having terrible guard play at the one position, I don't really know what Sam Hinkie's trying to do. And everyone's talking about this big vision, and I think everyone's waiting for a blockbuster trade where Philadelphia gets very good because they trade all their assets. But every single move, it just kind of seems like he's stalling and waiting for something, but nobody really knows what he's waiting for. He traded Drew Holiday fresh off of an All-Star game appearance to land a point guard in Michael Carter-Williams, and obviously to land Nerlens Noel. Michael Carter-Williams wins Rookie of the Year, and he trades him for absolutely nothing. So at some point, you have to wonder, when is there going to be guard play? And I know Philadelphia fans like to say that it's not always about need. Well, it's about need when you already have two big men on the roster and another one coming over.
But like I said, it's all about best available. And it's also about safer options here because everyone will say Kristaps has huge upside. But to me, Kristaps, including D'Angelo Russell, are boom or bust prospects. You don't know if Kristaps or D'Angelo can develop into, at best, superstars. Because if we look at this draft at the very moment and find there's no doubt that Karl Towns will be a solid player at the next level. There's no doubt Jahlil Okafor will be a solid player at the next level. Every one of these guys, there's no doubt that they can reach their true potential. But I look at the draft at this moment and go, well, there's not really a superstar because we keep going back and forth between whether Karl Towns should be taken number one, whether Jahlil Okafor should be taken number one. I mean, it's all up in the air. It's all up in the air because you look at Kristaps Porzingis. He could really blossom into a really good player depending on how he develops 3-4 years from now. Then D'Angelo Russell. Russell is arguably a great shooter. Led that Ohio State team throughout the way in the Big Ten last year. But go back and watch the Arizona game, and you'll see clearly that D'Angelo is not one of those type of players you can put the game. You could certainly say he has that. He has the intangibles you want. He has possibly that killer instinct, but he's not necessarily a player who can blossom into a superstar. From my perspective, I don't think D'Angelo can really develop into a superstar, even if you look at his athleticism, because that's the biggest knock on D'Angelo Russell, attacking the rim. He didn't really attack the rim much in college, all due to his athleticism. Yeah, he's 6'5", not 6'5" in shoes, but you know he has wonderful length to charge the rim, but yet he really lacks the athleticism. Which leads back into Emmanuel Mudiay. Everyone raves about Emmanuel Mudiay's athleticism, raves about what could be of Emmanuel Mudiay's future if he just develops a shot and goes on to become someone like Russell Westbrook or John Wall, because his athleticism certainly matches up to those particular guys, Russell Westbrook and John Wall. Emmanuel Mudiay, I say, is one of the best available, if not the safest option for the Sixers, because you're going to get a guy that will not only fill a need for the Sixers, but will also provide playmaking. I think that's a big factor here that comes into play. Playmaking. I think you need a playmaker like Emmanuel Mudiay, who could dish it out to Nerlens Noel or possibly Joel Embiid easily. So I'd say Emmanuel Mudiay is my safe option at number 3.
I mean, I don't know how safe Mudiay is, because his body of work isn't great, but he is the more athletic of the two. He is the one that probably offers more intrigue. But, I mean, it's really just going to come down to, you know, what Inky thinks is best for the team. And that's not necessarily something that Sixers fans should be comfortable with, because as much faith as they like to place in him and as loyal a fan base as they are, he's let them down. He's purposely tanked multiple seasons now. And there's not really much to show for it. Every sign of progress has been dealt away in a trade for just about nothing. And loading up on draft picks and getting a top 5 pick is great, but if you can't turn that top 5 pick into success, then what's really the point of having them?
So you're saying, Max, why should the Sixers draft Emmanuel pretty much if really it's been a long time in the making that the Sixers should just roll the dice and pick up yet another boomer bust prospect? I'm not saying Joel Embiid was a boomer bust prospect.
Well, I think boomer bust than Russell. Russell is the safer of the two, because maybe he won't become a superstar, but you know he's going to be a solid NBA player. He's one of the 5 best shooters in the draft. He can shoot off the dribble. He has excellent court vision. He's a 6'5 point guard, just like Mudiay. And he measured 20 pounds heavier than people thought with a 6'10 wingspan. So I don't think the question is, will he be a good player? It's more about how good can he be. The question with Mudiay is, can he be good, and how healthy will he be? Because we're all forgetting, and yeah, it's an ankle, but he had an ankle injury and he missed most of the CBA season over in China. He only played about 10 regular season games and then came back for a few playoff games. So the sample size that we're evaluating is basically YouTube highlights and a couple of games against a lackluster level of competition of pros who couldn't cut in the NBA anymore and decided to go overseas. I personally think Mudiay will be successful. I think he's going to be a star. But the point I'm making isn't that they should or shouldn't do anything. The point that I'm making is that if Hinkie fails this, I really think that's it, because Philadelphia has been building up to some big bang as though they're going to steal headlines and do something that's going to change the league. And every time they start getting close, it just ends. And that person just goes away. And it's not as though they're reloading every time they do something. It's almost like they're stripping the roster down to nothing and then hoping that an injury-plagued guy is going to be good. They did this with Andrew Bynum. They did it with Nerlens Noel. They did it with Joel Embiid. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do it with Moutier. And I think the Moutier pick would pay off. And I do think that in the end they should take Moutier because he is the more athletic player. And if it's him and Noel, then they're built to be transition players. But if Embiid doesn't come, if he does come back, suddenly you have a situation where you want to be in the half court. And if you're going to build around Embiid, and maybe this foot injury scare is just smoke and mirrors, but if it's real, or whether it's real or not, if you're still planning to build around Embiid as your franchise player, I think you have to consider Russell because he's a vastly superior half court player. One of the main knocks on Moutier is the fact that he doesn't create as well in the half court because he doesn't have a jumper and teams can sag off of him. And yeah, his percentages may say one thing, but he's very erratic. He struggles at the free throw line, and then you have Russell who can shoot from anywhere. So I think it really comes down to the Sixers don't have anything to lose right now. You know, if they mess this up, they're in the same position they're in now and they were in last year. So for that reason, I agree with you. They should take Moutier. They should gamble on him. They should hope that he lives up to his potential. And, yeah, there's a lot of risk involved with him, but he's worth the risk. And I think that there's no wrong answer between Moutier and Russell, but Moutier has more upside. And because of what Sam Hinkie does in the draft, I think that's what he's going to try and do, go for the upside.
If you want to call a number to the show, 347-215-6966. Max, it's just hard to get away from fit and need because I keep on saying the Sixers should take what's best available, but then you think about how Moutier would come into play with someone like Joel Embiid, how D'Angelo Russell would come into play with someone like Joel Embiid again. I first pointed out Nerlens Noel in the same sentence as Emmanuel Moutier was because those, you're right, Max, are two transitional players, two players that can play in transition, two players that are so quick and explosive around the rim. So you think about the possible scenarios the Sixers could wind up drafting Moutier, Noel, and develop an up-tempo offense, or you could develop a half-court offense with Joel Embiid and D'Angelo Russell, but it's just really hard to pinpoint. It's been really hard to pinpoint for the past couple of months because, hey, Max, you could sit here and go on about the Sixers chaos, okay, but Sixer fans like me have just been through so much, and you look, and I still talk about Brett Brown. I still talk about Brett Brown's exit interview because Brett Brown wasn't even so pleased about the direction of the Sixers at all. I'm not saying Brett Brown isn't pleased, but Brett Brown just expressed how exhausted he is of the tanking, of the losing. So at some point next year, Brett Brown and Sixer fans expect the Sixers to start getting on the ball here, getting on the ball of this rebuilding process. I mean, I brought this up the other day, but look at where the Sixers were heading before they selected Joel Embiid, The Sixers were reportedly to really, really draft Andrew Wiggins, but as it turned out, Andrew Wiggins went to Minnesota and Joel Embiid went to Philadelphia, but there were reports that the Sixers were indeed interested in Andrew Wiggins in developing an up-tempo offense with raw prospects, okay, raw prospects like Andrew Wiggins, and Nerlens Noel. So it keeps going back and forth as to the vision here. And no one knows Sam Hinkie's vision here, but Sam Hinkie could say, all right, well, I'm going to put it this way. Sam Hinkie isn't, and he hasn't ever been pressured by the fan base at all, by the media at all. But I'd say this, if Josh Harris, the owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, is getting in Sam Hinkie's ear and saying, all right, Sam, this is when we really got to pull the trigger here, then I'd say, yes, the Sixers will probably draft D'Angelo Russell. But if Josh Harris goes, hey, Sam, let's extend this process as we initially intended on doing, then they take a guy like Emmanuel Mudiay, a raw prospect like Emmanuel Mudiay. He could certainly work with Brett Brown. Brett Brown, as he always does, tries to develop players like Nerlens Noel and others. So you could see it so many ways, although we have no answer as to what the Sixers will do on draft night.
Well, I mean, I don't doubt at all that Brett Brown is frustrated, because as the coach, you're coaching, the only thing that he can do is put the players that he has on the court. And the bottom line is the Sixers have won less than 20 games in consecutive seasons, and that's just simply inexcusable. That's not tanking. That's taking it to a whole nother level. And, you know, even the teams that are terrible are at least getting over the 20-win threshold. And, yeah, maybe it's pinching numbers and all that, but teams are improving, even if it's slightly. And Philadelphia really hasn't made any effort to improve. It almost seems like they're getting worse. And from one perspective, you have freeing up cap space and getting rid of guys like Evan Turner, and that's one thing, and that's understandable, sure. But it's another thing to get rid of Michael Carter-Williams and get virtually nothing in return. Because, yeah, Michael Carter-Williams had his inconsistencies. But in terms of the vision that they appear to be building towards, it made sense that he was there. It seemed like they were trying to go defense. They had two incredibly gifted defensive big men in Noel and Embiid. Then they had Saric hopefully coming to play the three, even though I'm still convinced he's going to be more of a four. And Michael Carter-Williams, say what you will about him, when you have a 6'6 point guard, you have a defensive advantage. So now it's kind of looking like, and Saric saying that he's not going to come over next season, why would he? You know, it's kind of looking like the Sixers don't really have a direction. And until they develop one, and until they commit to one thing and they stop trading away anything that looks promising, I think the front office is going to continue doing the fans an injustice, because it's not fair that fans pay money to see them play and pour in their energy to see them play and to follow them and support them, and this is what they're given. I understand people want to defend Sam Hinkie, but at the end of the day, when you lose less than 20 games in consecutive seasons, that's unacceptable. And quite honestly, especially if MD doesn't play this year, barring a huge swoop in free agency, is there any reason to believe they're going to win any more in 2015-16?
Well, no one knows the status of Joel Embiid, and Scott O'Neill, the CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers, said we should have more on Joel Embiid in a couple more weeks. I mean, I think everyone's sort of exaggerated the injury a bit. I mean, the report came out and everyone went crazy, although the real story is Joel Embiid will very well miss out on Summer League, but there hasn't been any confirmation whatsoever that Joel will not play in the 2015-2016 season. I mean, it's very well possible he may get surgery again and be sidelined, but there's no confirmation, so I'm not really going to hang my head down. And nor is Sam, because, look, I think Sam will look ahead, look forward, as he always does. And it's a huge hit. It's certainly a huge hit if Joel Embiid can't play or can't ever play in a Sixers uniform, period. But Sam has a hopefully it comes into play sooner rather than later than most people hope, but the Sixers have a bunch of draft picks lined up for next year's draft. They'll possibly have four first-round picks heading in to next year's draft. I'm not sure, but that number may change. Sam, what can you say, is trying to compile assets and find player here. There's no doubt Karl Towns, Jahlil Okafor, and possibly D'Angelo Russell are safe picks here. But you question how high their ceiling is, because there's no doubt Karl Towns has all-star potential, no doubt Jahlil Okafor has all-star potential, no doubt D'Angelo Russell has all-star potential, but will any of these guys be legitimate superstars? There's reports leaking that the Timberwolves are going to draft Karl Towns as the number one overall pick, but really, is Karl Towns the guy that can lead the Timberwolves into the future along with Andrew Wiggins? It's possible, but yet you still question if things will go according to plan. I've made no secret about it that I think Kristaps could very well go number one to the Timberwolves. And I mean, if that were to happen, I think the Timberwolves could very well develop an up-tempo offense with Kristaps and Andrew Wiggins side by side. There's no denying Karl Towns' athleticism will likely translate. His athleticism is good enough to compete at the next level, but you question back and forth between Emmanuel Mudiay and D'Angelo Russell, then Kristaps Porzingis, Karl Towns, and Jahlil Okafor, the bigs. So, I mean, you talk about need, fit. Max, I've never asked you this question. Who do you think is the best prospect in this year's draft?
I think it's Okafor, and I don't really think it's close. Everyone knows to say, well, you can't play from the post anymore. It's not that you can't. It's that most teams don't, because you don't have many dominant post players. Look at Al Jefferson, though. He goes to the Charlotte Hornets, not this past season, but the season before when he was actually healthy, and he single-handedly carries them to the playoffs. Put a talented team around him, and we may be having a different conversation. Look at the Memphis Grizzlies, how they've been built around Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol going to the post. They have a Western Conference Finals appearance and multiple playoff appearances. They're in the playoffs every year in the deep Western Conference. San Antonio won the title last year, and Kawhi Leonard may have won Finals MVP, but they were very much based out of the post with Tim Duncan. The reality is, if you have a great, legitimately great post player, your team is going to be better because of it. And Jahlil Okafor, he kind of has the Tracy McGrady syndrome, where people think that he's not trying hard because of body language. But if you look at him and you know his backstory and you study everything about him, the guy busts his tail and he works hard. And, you know, people could say what they want. Yeah, he didn't show up as well as people would have liked because he got in foul trouble in the national championship game. He made the three plays that ended up deciding the game and winning it for Duke with basically cold feet out there because he hadn't been playing. He'd been sitting on the bench. And that was just a testament to who he is. He's a guy who, you know, people can't downplay this, yet they still try to. He played in the ACC, arguably the best conference in the country. He played against high-caliber opponents all season. And he averaged about 18 points on nearly 70% shooting from the field. Not only that, and this is the main reason I think he's the best prospect, people love to talk about the things that you can measure. They love to talk about the things that are on stat sheets. The reality is there's one thing that you can't measure, and that's mental fortitude. The fact that Jahlil Okafor enters the collegiate scene as a player with monumental expectations, being compared to Tim Duncan and great players of the past, being given these lofty expectations, and he lives up to everyone and exceeds them. He wins a national championship. He becomes the first freshman ever to win ACC Player of the Year. He crazy numbers all season. And then when he decides that he's going to play as more of a facilitator and decoy role, people go crazy over his numbers. And to me, that's a little crazy because nobody really criticized anybody else for anything during the NCAA tournament. We're all praising Karl-Anthony Towns' defense. How about the fact that in consecutive rounds, Zach August and Frank Kaminsky scored at will, posting up Karl-Anthony Towns on ISO. Everybody has flaws. And I'll take a gamble on the guy who's 6'11 with a 7'5 wingspan becoming a better defender any day of the week.
Yeah. There's no denying Jahlil Okafor will become a great post-up player at the next level. There's no denying, and better yet, he's obviously the best post up player in this draft. So you don't know where Jahlil Okafor will fall, Karl Towns will fall, Kristaps Porzingis will fall, D'Angelo Russell will fall, but who would I say is the best prospect? It's tough because, like I said, I really don't see a legitimate superstar coming out of this draft as of this moment. But I truly believe Kristaps could be the best prospect three to four years from now. Although talking about the best prospect right now, I'd have to say Jahlil Okafor as well, because you know what you're getting with Jahlil Okafor out of the whole bunch right now. So I definitely say Jahlil Okafor as well. I definitely agree with Max here, but there's no denying Karl Towns, Kristaps Porzingis, D'Angelo Russell, or Emmanuel Mudiay can turn out to be better than Jahlil Okafor 2, 3, 4 years from now. So before we go, Max, how would you arrange the top five in this year's NBA draft?
You know, it's very interesting that really the top five prospects, obviously a trade could change everything, and I expect Orlando to make a trade, even though they say they won't. But to me, I think it's going to be Towns and Okafor 1 and 2. I don't think there's any question about that. Number 3, I think it's really going to come down to Mudiay or Russell. And whoever isn't selected there, I think, is falling to number 6 to the Kings. Not because they're not good enough to be a top 5 prospect, but because I think the Knicks are going to take Porzingis, and I think the Magic will probably go with Justin, or maybe even reach on Miles Turner, which is something that I'm hearing. Or maybe even go with Mario Hezonja if they believe that he can be a small forward. But the Magic obviously aren't going to select Russell or Mudiay because they have Oladipo and Payton. So it's really an interesting situation right now. If I had to put my best guess forward, I'd probably say it's going to go Towns, Okafor. I do think Philadelphia will take Russell. My gut says Mudiay, but I think they're going to take Russell just because he's a more NBA-ready player. And then I think Porzingis and Justice Winslow are going to round out the top 5.
Man, I'm going to be at the event this coming Thursday. I'm going to be at the NBA draft live witnessing history here, because I'm going to be sitting right next to my Knicks friend, Knicks compadre, and we're going to witness what goes down this Thursday night. But I get so excited talking about this. But number one, oh, we're here in Karl Towns. I truly believe Minnesota will hang their hats on Karl Towns. I think Minnesota will pick the safer option in Karl Towns. I mean, I would possibly give Kristaps Porzingis a shot, but yet people say, is he really worth the number one overall pick? And that's to be contemplated a bit. So I'd say Karl Towns at number one. Then number two, the Lakers. We're hearing the Lakers could draft D'Angelo Russell, but I think the Lakers should definitely go with Jahlil Okafor here at number two. There's no denying he is arguably the best post-up player in this draft, and the Lakers have had so many great bigs throughout franchise history, so I think they could add yet another great post-up player in Jahlil Okafor this time. People will say whether the Lakers will draft Jahlil Okafor all because of Kobe Bryant. Well, I don't think that's the case, and Mitch Kupchak has even gone on record to say that's not the case as well. So I'd say Jahlil Okafor at number two. Yeah, how does he work? And everyone's talking about Kevin Love possibly entering L.A. sometime in the near future, but I'd say no matter what, and I always say take best available, Lakers go with Jahlil Okafor, number two. Number three, the Sixers. I'm going to be pleased with whomever the Sixers take. So whether it's D'Angelo Russell or Mudiay, I'll be content with. But I'm going to stick by Emmanuel Mudiay. I think the Sixers should take Emmanuel Mudiay at number three. I think there's no reason to revolve the future around Joel Embiid if there is uncertainty at the moment. So I'd go in a misdirection route here, call an audible and develop yet the same vision I had thought Sam Hinkie was pursuing previously before with Nerlens Noel, develop an up-tempo offense around Emmanuel Mudiay, Nerlens Noel, and others. You look at the 2016 NBA draft, there are some nice athletic wings like Brandon Ingram, who's on the top of my list, Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown. I mean, there are some. And look, Justice Winslow and Stanley Johnson will turn out to be pretty decent wings, but there's no denying that the class of wings next year are going to be even better. So I'd assume Sam is keep, because you know he keeps an eye out for many of these prospects from eighth grade on. So you think about Mudiay as well. Mudiay has been a highly touted prospect for a long time, and look at the rest of these prospects like D'Angelo, Karl Towns, you know, and even Porzingis. Okay, Porzingis. Those guys have sort of been risers throughout the draft, throughout time. So, I'd say Sam is gonna make the right decision and possibly go with Emmanuel Mudiay here. If the rumors are correct, I'll be content with D'Angelo Russell, but I wouldn't let the rumors get to anyone, even during this week of time. I think it's possible the Sixers may trade, because we're also hearing there's going to probably be a lot of trades in the first round of this year's draft, especially top 10. The Sixers may convince the Magic, may convince the Knicks to trade with them. The Sixers might take Kristaps, who, as many people probably know, the Magic have their eyes on, and then the Knicks. The Knicks we're hearing might trade down, might just, you know, trade out of the draft, trade out of the draft period. But the Knicks may bid on D'Angelo Russell. They may want to trade for D'Angelo Russell if the Sixers were to take D'Angelo Russell and then Kristaps Porzingis. So, at all odds, who knows, but I think the Sixers should select Emmanuel Mudiay with the number 3 overall pick. Number 4 pick, we're running out of time here. Number 4 pick, the Knicks. Don't know what the Knicks would do here. Phil Jackson has gone on record saying that he thinks D'Angelo Russell is a pretty solid player, but yet, does he really fit into triangle offense? You wonder about Phil's level of trust. Would he want to take the risk on D'Angelo Russell and put a young point guard right away into a triangle offense? If they're on the board here, I think the Knicks should take D'Angelo Russell at number 4. Then number 5, I'd say Kristaps Porzingis to the Orlando Magic. The Magic could use a superstar for once, and they may get a superstar in Kristaps Porzingis here. The Magic have come away with some pretty solid picks over the years, but think about the potential, the upside Kristaps has. The Magic can't pass up on. I'd say Magic go with Kristaps at 5, as this about does it for Philadelphia Sports Nation. I want to thank Max for joining us. And Max, if you want to tell people how to find you, how to follow you, then go right ahead.
You can just follow me on Twitter at Maxwell Ogden, OGDEN. And thank you for having me on.
Thanks as always, Max. It's been a pleasure. So with that, thank you guys, and enjoy the draft this Thursday. Hopefully the draft turns out well for many Sixer fans. So long, everybody.